God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. I'm so glad to see so many of you here. Apparently you didn't hear about this sometimes being a low Sunday, and I'm certainly glad for that. And this holiday weekend, which extends through Tuesday for many, will be filled with all sorts of celebrations of our nation's birthday on the 4th. Or as pet owners everywhere call it, National Torture My Dog and Cat with Fireworks Day. Seriously, I have a friend who's a priest, and he and his husband have to go down into the basement with their two dogs whenever the fireworks start happening. But while dogs and cats might not like fireworks, kids and kids at heart, like me, sure do. Not only that, the summer itself is a several month long kid fest, don't you think? I mean, the children in our nursery school are so excited by all the activities. Now, I try not to make the same mistake with our nursery school children last week that one priest did with his as July 4th approached. See, Father William was visiting with the fourth grade class of the parish school where the children were studying the states and asked them how many states they could name. And they came up with about 40 names, which I think is pretty good. And Father William jokingly told them that in his day, students knew the names of all the states. And one kid raised his hand and said, "Yes, sir, but in those days there were only 13 states." You gotta love the things kids say, right? Of course, loads of barbecues will be happening and all the trimmings and hot dogs and pies. I get hungry just thinking about it all. Now, a long while ago, there used to be a television ad for a hot dog company, Hebrew National. And I don't know if you remember this, but they were proclaiming that their product was made with pure kosher beef, no fillers. It often ran around the 4th of July, featuring an actor dressed up as Uncle Sam. And the commercial goes something like this. Uncle Sam starts to take a bite of the hot dog, and a voiceover says, "The government says we can make our hot dogs from frozen beef." And Uncle Sam's nodding, starts to take the bite, "We don't. The government says we can use artificial colors. We don't. The government says we can use meat byproducts. We don't. The government says we can use non-meat fillers. We can't. We're kosher, and we answer to a higher authority." And then the cameras pan to the heavens. You guys remember that commercial? And if you don't remember, go home and Google it. It's great fun. It's a great commercial. It really makes the point. And perhaps it's a point Christians need to remember on this holiday most of all. No, not because we're kosher, and I really don't care what hot dog you eat, or if you eat them at all. But at a time when we celebrate the founding of our nation, we must remember, too, who we are as a people of God, because we too answer to a higher authority. Now in the gospel passage today, Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." One of the things I think we can sometimes get lost in is how to live our Christian identity. There's so much need in the world for love, God's love, to be proclaimed and lived out. I mean, what do we do? How do we start? Can I really make a difference? And the message of this gospel is very clear. Whoever welcomes another welcomes Jesus and God, even if the welcome is as simple as a cup of cool water to a child. Christianity isn't about heroics. No cape is required, but about welcome and about love. Our founding, or really our foundation, is Jesus and the ideals, values, principles he taught us and called us to live in his commission to love and serve all of God's creation. We're called to live what we profess to believe. Living what we believe is important for a faith community and for a nation. Our founding principles for these United States were noble, if not fully realized in the beginning. We proclaimed this country would be a place where freedom, justice, and life for all would be valued. The founding fathers, and they were fathers sadly, initially left slaves, Native Americans, and women out in the cold. And while much has changed in that regard, there's still much work to do to fully live into the ideals that comprise the framework of our country, which we celebrate this weekend. Though one could reasonably argue, and some do, that we should really be celebrating the anniversary of the adoption of the Constitution. But like we sometimes do with our faith, we do with our government. We start to get lazy, figuring that, you know, being a good Christian or a good citizen is about checking off a box. Go to church. Don't break the law. Done. We become passive cogs rather than the active and engaged participants we're supposed to be. We know Jesus was not one to sit around, right? I mean, he didn't go in his living room in Galilee, put his feet up on a recliner, grab the remote and a beer, and hang out and expect people to walk in the door, did he? No, he called us to be as he was in the world. Just look at our scripture from the Hebrew text, and it'll make clear to you that this isn't something we turned over to the ordained like me. The prophet Jeremiah is preaching not only to the lay people as a lay prophet, but did you notice he was also preaching to the priests? We cannot turn this faith stuff over to others. We must embrace the ministry each of us are born into from the moment we are created. It's what we mean to be, what it really means to be as a person of faith. I mean, you can't phone this stuff in from Duluth. You can't. The same is true of our country. In the words of Thomas Jefferson, patriotism is not a short and frenzied burst of emotion, but the long and steady dedication of a lifetime. And yet we seem to think all we need to do is vote. Heck, most people don't even do that. And when they do, they just tick off a box next to whatever party they're in half the time, not even knowing anything about the candidates. There's an example of this I heard once. It seems that in 1938, the name Boston Curtis appeared on the ballot for committeeman from Wilton, Washington. Now, actually, Boston Curtis was a mule. The town's mayor sponsored the animal to demonstrate that people know very little about the candidates, and he proved his point. The mule won. I guess that meant there really was a Jack, well, you know, in office. I know, groan, right? We often take for granted what so many around the world die to have, the ability to make choices of how we are governed and to protest against that government when we believe it has erred. We think somebody else will fix it. Someone else will stand up and make it right. And we do the same with our faith sometimes. We think coming to church on Sunday is enough, that it makes us Christian. It does not. It's only one part of being Jesus, the body of Christ in the world. It is important, but it is only part of being that. We must be actively engaged in the work we're called to do in Christ's name, to break the bonds of injustice, welcome the stranger, care for the poor and the outcast, and proclaim the good news that all people are God's beloved children. And when we do this, even for the least of these, we do this for Christ. We live what we say we believe. See, in some ways, Christianity is to the church as democracy is to the nation. If we forget the latter is destroyed through neglect and abuse. If we live the former, really live what it means, the latter thrives. And sadly, we often value the institution over the ideals out of which it was formed. Yet even in our failings to live into who we are, our two identities as Christians and as citizens of the United States share a common set of ideals. That all people are endowed with rights by our Creator, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And all that comes, if we truly think about it, through relationship with God, with self, and with one another. All of it requires a core of love, God's love, freely given, freely received. We know that there are Christians who will proclaim from pulpits and in the streets that only some people are loved by God while God hates others. It is repulsive to me that anyone would try to put hate in the heart of God. But we know they do it. And it's up to each and every one of us to be the ones to stop it, to call out these false prophets as Jeremiah was doing, and let the world know that hate is of humanity, not of God. God loves everyone. The way we do this, just start with the cool glass of water, of welcome, of love, of kindness, of compassion, of forgiveness. It's an everyday thing. It's a way of being. It's not something for Sundays only, but for our lives, that we might have life. Also today, we have leaders in our government that want to hoard our nation's resources, close our borders to those in peril, divide people by ethnicity and economics, deny people access to health care, and use the power of their office to abuse others. Perhaps we forget that freedom can never be fully realized when it comes at the expense of others. We are never free while others are in chains. I love the hymns we're singing today. Because if you look at the words, really read them, especially the opening hymn, God of Every Nation, and our closing hymn, commonly known as America the Beautiful, they speak to exactly this point. I believe that America the Beautiful should be our national anthem, and it's been proposed to replace our current one on more than one occasion. And while the opening verse is well known, perhaps if we sang more than just that one verse, we might be less inclined to allow others to pull our society so far from the ideals we claim to profess as citizens of this country. Because in that second verse it says, O beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Folks, sadly, our leaders are not living into this vision of self-control and liberty and law. And it's up to us to be the prophetic citizens as well as the prophetic Christians. We must be actively engaged in no less a way than we should in our faith. Because while the actions of our government of late violate the very founding principles of our country, they also violate the teachings of Jesus, who commanded us to love as he loved, to be him in the world. We cannot be lazy citizens. We cannot just abide the government because we answer to a higher authority. Our Christianity and our citizenship require active engagement. If they are to mean anything, stand for anything, represent anything in the world. If you cannot get out in the streets and stand for the poor, the stranger, and the oppressed as a citizen, then dang it, do it because you are a follower of Christ who told you that is what you must do. Lives depend on this very essence of our faith and our life as citizens. Our democratic republic and our faith is meaningless if we remain silent. So on this holiday weekend, I leave you with this prayer offered to the Senate in the late 1940s by its chaplain, the renowned Presbyterian pastor, the Reverend Peter Marshall. If you ever want to see a good film about him, there's a film, I think it came out in the 60s, called A Man Called Peter. He speaks of, in this prayer, of liberty, but the same can be said about who we are as followers of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thou who art the way, the truth, and the life, hear us as we pray for the truth that shall make all free. Teach us that liberty is not only to be loved, but also to be lived. Help us to see that our liberty is not the right to do as we please, but the opportunity to be pleased to do what is right. Amen.